Hi, it's Harry Redknapp here. You're listening to a proper podcast. It's the Alan Hudson podcast. It's proper football, proper talk.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Alan Hudson football podcast. As you can see, we've been joined by two of Alan's old Chelsea teammates. It's a fond hello to Johnny Boyle there and also to Peter Rhodes-Brown. Welcome, Pete. Welcome, Boilers.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well,
yeah, good, Johnny.
That's great.
And the chaps are looking good.
I think it's great that that wonderful thing about football that's never really touched on is that they say never go back to a club that you've left. And I was, and I should not have done really because I come back from Seattle. I left Chelsea, went to Stoke, but I knew Johnny in the late 60s and the 70s and become best friends and then become great friends with Pete, although we haven't seen each other for a long time. It's great to go back and see the new generation come through. You know what I mean, John?
Absolutely. I was just thinking there when you said about the all the clubs that you've gone back to. I bet there's one or two around the world you have, haven't you? You'd like to.
Yeah. I'll talk about nightclubs, yeah. I thought you might pick up on that, yeah. I think he's got a few of them. He got one about Rocky's Bar. You like Rocky's Bar, but that's not a nightclub. Until you went there, it wasn't a nightclub. It was like, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning club, wasn't it, for you?
I think nights out with you, Huddy, was enough for me. The young boy then, mate, I was only about
a couple of years on your career, Pete, to tell you the truth.
It took a couple of years off my life, I think.
Just talking, and I was just listening to somebody. I was listening to, I've got a CD with Hugh McIlvany, I think it's Pat Nevin, and somebody else talking about Jock Steen.
All right.
And they were saying, and they said, McIlvany was saying about being with Jock Steen and all that, and how Jimmy Johnson was like sort of the great winner. And apparently Jock said to McIlvany, he said, don't ever say I made him a great player. He said, the only thing I'd done, he said, was give him an extra 5 years on his football career.
Why are you talking about the booth?
Well, chased him every time he had some. Well, he then told the story, didn't he, about little Jimmy used to go into a pub. And they said, how is it he always knows that I'm in a pub? And but Jock had his spies out.
Yeah.
So, and when Jimmy used to go in the pub, Jock used to phone up and he'd say, Jimmy Johnson there. And they'd hand the phone to Jimmy and Jimmy said, hello. And he said, get there, you wee bastard.
Hey, never pick up a phone in a pub. What's that?
Oh.
Jock Steen, yeah.
Addy, we haven't met. Addy, we haven't spoken for 38 years. Can you believe that?
And so we spoke the other day.
Yeah, well, 38 years and less a week. don't get picky on me, son.
Well, yeah, and I tell you, well, you don't even look 38.
Yeah, good, man. It's the lighting in the house.
Yeah, I bet you've had the missus out, but we made.
Okay, let me just interrupt you there, and because
he ain't got long left.
Mortimer died the other day.
Huh?
John Mortimer died. John Sir Percy Mortimer died last week. And obviously, Peter, when you came into the team, when Alan was there, I came into the team and John Mortimer was there. And I think he had played 200 games. And it was like so dim. He was 30 years old then. And we was like 18. And to stand beside me, and he wore old men's clothes, if you like. And everything about him is like a bit of a school teacher and he's posh.
Is this the way you talk about people when they leave?
Of course. I mean, what I've got for you, mate, I could be here, Tony and I'll be here all day. I'm just letting you know that
you want, John, don't I? Because where I'm going, I won't be seeing you. I'm going up there, son.
And but Percy was like a great character and a great person to have in the dressing room. And I remember when I first went in at my debut, he played in my first three games, my three debuts, the league, the League Cup, the FA Cup and the league. And I remember sitting beside him and looking at him and he was like a giant, big long legs, he was about 6'2" and I was like 18 and I reminded me the other day of them saying about Billy Gilmer.
Oh, yeah.
He bits of muscle on and stuff like that, you know, and I thought, just let him play, you know, don't worry about his muscles, let him, like, get on with playing, that'll build him up. Yeah. But Percy, and I've got a great picture of Percy, I wish I'd have got my phone, where he's tackling myself and the great Dennis Violet, and he's good up about chest high. And he was hard, but a great, great servant for Chelsea. And a great fella. We ended up going on tour. So I'd been in the team. I'd played 12 games. Then we went on a six-week tour of Australia with Percy. And he was a great character off the field as well.
I met him when I used to come Tuesdays and Thursdays. He was there then, yeah.
Oh, well. Addy, do you remember that first day's training when you come in that skirt?
It's not called a skirt in America, Pete.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it was a... when you came back for your second spell, was it 83, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 83. Quality days.
The quality training, it matches.
Quality team.
Now, I mean, we were talking the other day, Johnny, honestly. We had so much fun in training.
Yeah.
You know, the training was everything for me then. I was not going to get in the first team. Peter, I think you was in and out of the team, weren't you? You was more in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been a winger. You're getting selected in a 4-4-2, and then I was having a few decent runs in the team. And then because you had Canners and Clive and Pat. Yeah. It was difficult, you know. And John Neal and Ian McNeil, decent staff. And yeah, they just had to make sure it was right for the team. But being a winger, you're inconsistent. You have a few decent games, and then you have a rest, and you come off again. And
then Mickey Thomas came, obviously.
Yeah, January 84, I left to go to Oxford United in 84, and I'm still there, by the way, at the club. I haven't had a game for a few years, so.
Have you got a little bit of dementia?
Sorry, who am I talking to?
you told me, Tony, this the other day, you know. We don't really want to go back over what we spoke about the other day, you know. Sure. I mean, John, look at John. He's 75. He's slightly 74. Sorry, John. You look well, mate.
Yeah, 59, mate. Just waiting up this morning.
Sounds 50.
I wish. Rosie, just let everyone see the picture you got on your wall behind you and just talk us through what happened that day.
Oh, that one. That one there. That's the... I can't remember it too well, but I think it was 7 minutes past three on the 13th of February 1982. Hit the ball off of Brian McDermott's toe. Little 1-2 with Colin Lee. And ran towards the north end and had to beat Bruce Grobler on the edge of the box. Closed my eyes and smashed it, and it crept in.
Now you weren't on the edge of the box, you were about 30 yards out, weren't you?
Good shout. Sorry, 35 yards out, overhead kick, chest volley. And then we went on to win the game 2-0. So that was my...
Why don't they play that back on I see that on Match of the Day. Why don't they play that back? Right in.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they played a 4-2-1. Was it 79 when Walker scored a couple? Yeah, but I mean, we've always had, in those days, we were... always the underdogs. That day was a great day. They were champions in Europe, and the team that they had out was incredible. I think we were looking to maybe get two or three corners if we were lucky as we come out of the tunnel. But to go one up early on and then hang on, we played so well that day.
I know. So I remember the game. I remember. Dave would have loved Peter.
What Peter was saying is really strange for wingers, I think, in the game. I think wingers and fullbacks, I think wingers frighten fullbacks and fullbacks frighten wingers. And they're all scared and people don't like playing it.
Who was frightening you then? Hento?
Of course. 38, he must have been. Yeah?
Was that frightening?
Take the watch off.
I know. But he couldn't have been frightened of you if he couldn't have been bothered to take his watch off. This won't take long to get round him.
It was a bit like you doing the cross country. Don't bother taking the watch off. And
I breathed it, mate. Breathed it. One thing I could do, mate, after a night out, run. Petrol.
Mate, you were one of the fittest I've ever seen at your best.
I'll tell you one day, this is stupid. Peter Benetti was like the wind, wasn't he, John?
Get this down.
He was the opposite of Rhodes Brown, John Boyle, Osgood, Cook, Baldwin, all drunkards, really, basically. You just go out at night and then come in the morning after you used to train. You was a good trainer. You wouldn't have got away with it otherwise, but Sponge and Oz and Webby and Demps, hopeless. Sponge was useless. But I would go out at night, and I came in one morning, and I said to Oz, I'm going to, remember the 12-minute run?
Yeah.
I said, I'm taking Catty on today. And he went, state of you. He said, you've been out. Done? He used to run in bare feet, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
When I took my boots off, I said, we'll see. I was like Forrest Gump, mate. I went by him like Forrest Gump. He was calling me Forrest. I thought he was calling Brian Cuff. I slaughtered him, John. But that was, I just made a point. That's all.
Okay.
Alan, hang on, Boilers. I just think Peter deserves a right of reply there. Alan just described him as a drunkard. So I think Peter's got the right to come back on that one.
Peter comes in, I only been out of him 3 times, and every time I've never been so bad.
Well, you're the drunkard.
That's going to say. I used to, because I lived out in Byfleet and everything, I used to drive all the time, so there was no way that I was drinking. But tell you what, you went out one night, I think we played Oxford United, didn't we? We played Oxford United, which is...
Not again.
In the reserves. We had a knock, and then you took me out one night, and it was me, you, Walks, Dale, bless him, Jasper, and then and I can't remember getting home. I had no idea. And then another night I was drinking Dom Perignon in the middle of London, and then the next day we had a 12-minute run, and I was so bad.
How long did it take you to do a 12-minute run?
About 3 days. I tell you what, I struggled, but you were front of the queue. You turned up the next day in your suit because you hadn't been home.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I would say that you were the best trainer, as in the fittest boy I've ever seen, but not in the showers, obviously. that night out in Putney after that Oxford United game, you've spreading rumours about me, mate, again, about me having concussion and not remembering scorelines. What's that about?
The truth hurts, Pete, doesn't it?
Well,
you thought it was 2-2, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, you was spaced out. I thought you was, I thought you was kind of in the film Rocky, you didn't know. You went out. He went, Johnny, we're standing there. You imagine after the game, 3 o'clock in the morning, we just beat Oxford 3-2 in a big game, away game, and there was 8 people there watching, and we're staying there having a drink, 3 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden, he ain't said nothing. Rhodesy ain't said nothing for about an hour. And he's gone, I've just worked it out. He said, how could we only get a draw at Oxford? He said, look who I'm drinking with. The biggest, best centre-half in the world. Adi, beat France, Beckenbauer, Germany, blah, 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 blah. And we couldn't beat Oxford. And we've all looked at each other. We've gone, what's he on? The Byfleet boy,
Well, he's out with the big boys then.
But he thought we had drawn. Can you imagine playing in a game, John? That game at Leeds we spoke about when Gary Sprake done you in the face, when you've beaten 1-0 in the FA Cups. And now I can understand you coming off the field, Sprake's done you in the face, and you think you've drawn 1-1.
Well, that was a different one. There's another one when Bremner volleyed me in the jaw.
I can understand that.
I fell on the floor and Harry ran on with a sponge, rubbed my face and said, do you know where you are? And I said, yeah, Leeds. I said, oh yeah, you've got the smelling salts out. Give me the smelling salts. And I said, do you know what number you're playing? I said, yeah, number 10. He said, okay. Stood me up, walked off. The game started and I'm walking about the pitch going, oh, these pretty lights. Oh, and the ball went something out, and Nozzy looks round. He went, Boilers, I went, aren't they pretty? He went, get this silly bastard off the field. ended up off in the thing in the night, Leeds Infirmary with concussion.
Yeah.
See, that was
without a drink at all.
I bet you was in the club in Streatham about 3 o'clock when they found out you had a concussion, yeah.
That was the next
day. I think that I was dehydrated and maybe concussed because I did all your work for you that night at the Manor Ground. Oh. And I just came around about 3 o'clock in the morning and realised I had no idea we'd won 3-2.
Absolutely, Peter.
Honestly, my work rate then was 100%, and Addy's just strolling about up top. And
he's still blaming. This was 1982, and he's still blaming the VAR.
I think earlier, maybe one night we were 7-8, we played as normal, ran my socks off, like completely and utterly shattered. Walked over the Lord Palmerston, having a drink, standing outside, and I'm standing in. And suddenly I get cramp in my right hamstring. And I went, oh, I've got cramp. And I'm looking at it and I'm suddenly, and I just say something up. I've now got cramp in the other one. I'm leaning against the wall outside the Palmerston. I hold this pipe with cramp in both my thighs. I mean, I must have looked at you that night, Peter.
And it's funny, Pete, isn't it? It's funny. You know what makes me laugh about footballers or former players, you know? He's the only man I could really say that usually footballers get cramped while they're on the field, don't they?
Yeah.
He gets them in the pub. You know.
Just reaching for the wallet, Addy, that's the thing.
I wanted you to say that.
A Scotsman?
Yeah.
But going back, Johnny, Dave would have loved this style of play. Get it out of the road. He would kick, like he said to me, get out of the nobby. Get out of Rosie. You know, like we were talking the other day about watching a Brazilian.
If you've got wingers, you have to do that, don't you?
Well, not necessarily use them.
You have to vary it. This thing about football being played by people. Did anybody ever tell you how you play football on the field?
Yeah, you.
That's all. We told each other. Like, who gave you instructions? They didn't give you instructions. They put you there and they told you to play. If you give 100%, you're not going to tell me you couldn't play sort of right back for a game. You're kidding me. You could play right back for a game.
No.
Not as you play every game, but you could. Of course you could. You're a footballer.
What a waste. Putting me right back.
I'm not saying that you would play right back every game. I'm saying that if something happened, you could play right back and give a decent. It's the same in any. When I read these things about tactics, the 5-3-2, 4-4-2.
I agree.
If you've got two wingers, you play two wingers. If you've got two decent, good midfield players, you play two. You don't play a right back outside left.
I was just telling Pete and Tony about. I watched a game the other day when Germany beat England in 1972, the European Championships, with Gunter and Netzer and Beckenbauer. And I tried for the life of me. I watched the whole game, and it was great commentary. The commentary was in German, which was even better because he works on our telly. But I tried to work out a system that the Germans played, and they didn't. Exactly what you say. They didn't have a system. They just went when anyone passed the ball and went. If Gunnar Netzer went over there, Beckenbauer went in where he was, and vice versa. And they had a geese called Wimmer.
Yeah.
He was like you, Vimmer. Everywhere man, you know.
Oh, one of the luckiest things that I got to do was when I was 18, I think it was my sixth game, we played the German national team in Germany. And then for my ninth game, I think we played them again. We played them in May and then in August before the World Cup. And I mean, two games out there, and it was just to see them playing the game. And as I say, I just never find it. This thing about systems. You know?
No, I agree.
Now, John, can we just ask Pete if it's interesting what Boyler says about the lack of tactics and the lack of real structure in the 60s and the 70s. When you came through in the 80s, was it much the same or had it developed in any way?
No, I think we had Jeff Hurst and we had Bobby Gould and we had the manager John Neal and everything else. I think they liked the winger. Normally teams were playing with two wingers or at least one winger. There was nothing about three midfield. We didn't play the sweeper system. Big Mickey at the back and, Gary Lockett right back and everything else overlapped. But genuinely, it was either going to be me or Clive, either side, or me and Phil Driver. Remember those days when me and Drive, the 6-0 Newcastle was a great day.
But you played with Pat Nevin now on the other side, didn't you?
Pat played on the right hand side, and sometimes when he drift over on the left hand side, which meant I went on the right. We overlapped a couple of times, me and Pat. But as a winger, I was always taught, you got the ball, get chalk on your boots, get out wide, and because I was quick and pacey, I could cross the ball on the run most of the time. Sometimes I hit the pie cellar, as John Neal would say. But if I was having a tough day, I used to dig in and work hard. And I think that was part of the game, and that was always installed in me. And otherwise, you're playing with 10 men. Big Mick used to say, "Rosie, son, you're having a bit of a stinker, but dig in and make it a left-sided midfield player and you'll get..." And then sometimes you get dragged midway through the second half and things change.
But I can't remember you working too hard at Oxford that night. In fact, was you talking to someone on the sideline at one time?
Yeah, I was talking to Jim Smith, I think, because he signed me 2 weeks later. He said...
He said,
"I'll give you a decent contract, but as long as you..." And I said, "Can you get me away from others?" And he said, "Yes, certainly." So I took a drop in wages for that one, son.
Pete just mentioned a Chelsea legend there, Mickey Joy, someone you all played with. Can I ask you your memories of Mickey when you played with him, Boilers?
Can I just go in before that and just we'll finish off that bit a little bit? Can you see that?
Hold it up a bit further.
Closer. Yeah. Scottish badge.
No.
FA coach.
Phil Budge. That's from 1970.
Done you a lot of good, didn't it? You coached in Tampa, didn't you? Boilers.
For a little while. What was the deal of coaching? It's that to me, it's a bit like a driving license.
Yeah.
You've got old ladies down the road that can get them. Look, old ladies down the road that can get them, and you get some people like Lewis Hamilton have got them. That's the difference.
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
Can I just...
Sorry, you were saying what about...
A common connection.
Oh, Mickey Droy, yeah.
All three of you, you all play with Mickey Droy, who of course is a Chelsea legend, was captain for a long time. Tell us your memories of Mickey.
I don't really... Mickey just came in when I was sort of like near the end as well. I didn't see too much of him, really. Be honest, I don't remember
an awful lot about him. Can you remember you played the night we signed him?
Sorry?
Can you remember the night we signed when we signed him?
No.
We had a end of season game at Slough. He came to Slough Town, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And I think Dave was mates with a few of them people. He must have been mates with the manager of Slough. And one of his mates then was Tommy Lawrence from Enfield.
Yeah. Tom the Shoulder. Let me just interrupt. Tom the Shoulder. Tom got a fractured skull when he played. I think it might have been the Cup final. Yeah. Then he came training with us and he used to jump up. And instead of heading the ball, he used to go... He'd jump up in the air against you but he'd always use his shoulder instead of his head. I go on, Tommy, you're saying about Dave and Mickey Droy.
I'll tell you about, before you go on about Mickey, I'll tell you about Tommy Lawrence. This is true. We talked about, he came on tour with us once. And we were talking about drinking. We was out last night, was out, you know, and he went about drinking. He went, "You know what's a good thing for your drinking? When you get in at night," he said, "no matter how drunk you are," he said, "if you have 2 pints of water, you will wake up in the morning as sober as a judge and you won't know how to drink." I was 18 years of age. I've been trying it every night for 50 years and it ain't worked once. What information is that?
The first time he tried it, he came in at 6:30 in the morning.
and he put a tea bag in it and heated it up.
Tom, he was one of the crew that were doing the FA coaching courses. They were all, it was a big clique of them. Yeah. Tommy Lawrence and all different, what was his name, the guy who did it first of all, from Wimbledon, what's his name? They were all involved. Sorry? No, the guy before him, who's the manager of Dave Bassett?
I know who you mean.
Before Bassett?
Yeah.
No, I remember.
Who started the long ball thing?
I wouldn't know before Bassett.
No, me. I spoke to him last week, actually. Bassett, he was up at Oxford United, still involved with Wimbledon at the moment, I think, as well.
Yeah, he turned them into a good football team, didn't he?
He did all right. Big Mick. I've got a story about Big Mick. We had the sunken bath, didn't we? I know he was a quality leader for me and the boys and the youngsters, him and Ron Harris. I've got a story about Ron Harris as well, if you'd like to hear.
Mickey,
go on.
Stick the Mickey dry.
Yeah, I do. I will do. Big Mick was quality. And us youngsters, obviously the big deep bath that the boys used to start running before the game and everything else. And I was always in single baths and stuff. I was 18, still quite raw. And we all got in the big bath one day. Yeah. I'm sat with the water up to here, red hot bath at the end of the game. And we were just talking about how well we did and how well we didn't, and how many pie salad I'd killed on my crosses and stuff. And Big Mick stood up, and he just stood up and started watching himself. And I'm like, so he stood next door to me here, and I'm like, had a little look, and he's got the soap around his Niagaras, and he's got his soap around the old ring piece. And I'm like, okay, and I'm 18, and I'm, you know, and it was an education. And he's turned around to me, and as he's soaping himself up, he's turned around and said, Rosie, what do you think? And I've gone, what? Magnificent, Rosie. He said, now about the game, son. And I've never been there. I didn't sleep that night. I did not sleep, honestly.
Every young footballer has that kind of story about.
Oh, I was like
in the dressing room at a young age, 15, 16, when he was in cleaning the boots and stuff and listening to the conversations, mate, was just like.
But it was quality, and I was a better man for it, to be fair. But it's a shame it wasn't someone like, I was going to say Huddy, but also someone less well endowed. Because, you know, and 6'4" and big feet. And
no, but listen, mate, that's the problem with our country, mate. It's like the politicians, that you've got to tell the truth. Nobody
will. Started them, Tom. The problem's with this country already now.
Well, it's gone, mate. Finish our country, mate. This country's finished, mate.
What are you doing now? You having a good time?
I will be later on when we are fair.
So what's the matter with the country? What's the matter with the country then?
Well, it's all right where you live. Picking ops.
All up there, son. All up there. I've wakened up this morning.
You've wakened up? I'm so pleased that you haven't come on like usual, you know, because Peter's joined us this morning.
Well, because I heard Peter was on, but I mean, like a bit of class.
Respect. I like it, Johnny. Yeah.
You do realise I was the first double powered night boilers, so you know.
I did, Peter. And to be honest, I remember reading it when I was younger and thinking, Osh guy's going to play for Chelsea.
Well, Johnny Ollins. Double-barreled name.
Yeah, there's a hyphen missing, Addy. And another name.
See what I mean, Peter?
What we've been doing, Pete, when we've been doing talks with Tony, comparing and everything, introducing. And Tony said to me the other day, having boilers on out in the back garden with his that, it's like Last of the Summer Wine, you know, that show.
I could always listen. A man of all creations. You wait to see me in the summer, mate. Cool, tan, shorts.
What, up your end?
Yeah.
We'll be up. Pete, you must come up there. You've got a lovely garden.
Yeah. Boilers, where are you? Where are you living?
In a little village near Tunbridge.
Try again.
Tunbridge.
A little village near Tunbridge.
Tunbridge?
Yeah, Tunbridge. Tunbridge Wells.
Oh, Tunbridge Wells, sorry. It's the accent. Down there. Okay.
A little village called Five Oak Green.
Oh, nice.
There used to be two pubs in the post office, but one of the pubs got knocked down. The other pub got flooded, and then COVID came, but the post office is still open.
I'll give it a miss, thanks.
So, no, we don't make his own pub.
Oh, nice.
His own little shed in the garden.
No. No, we go to a farm where my wife used to go hop picking, and it's in the fields, and it's special. God's Little Acre, it's called.
Nice.
You like it, Pete? Honest.
Yeah.
Tony liked it, didn't you, Tony?
It's a lovely place. Yeah, I've been there several times. It's a nice part of Kent. Guys, time has absolutely flown by. We're nearly out of time. It'd be great to do this again, maybe even next week, if you're all up for it.
If you're all alive. Anyway, got 5 minutes about Frank.
We're nearly out of time now.
5 minutes would be five. You just read enough
people in this episode. I think it's probably best we draw it to a conclusion.
Oh, Frank,
I'll go on a couple of them Blues the Colour sites and see the crap that's on there. And just
I don't go on there, John. I'm not.
I do it for a laugh. If I want to have a laugh,
I'm a football supporter. Jack Grealish, mate. See him last night. Yeah. See his cross for the goal. Remind me of you, Johnny.
Yeah, I know.
They're more like you, Pete.
Cheers, mate. Thanks. Honest.
Okay, guys, before the line completely goes, probably best for everyone to say their farewells. And as I say, hopefully we can do it again next week.
Yeah, okay. Lovely. Well done.
Lovely seeing you. Pete, lovely seeing you. And what to do, Pete, if you ever watch a 67 Cup final and see a guy with his left foot, we only scored one goal, but left foot cross, mate, and I know how you do it.
Good man. Well, listen, it's my debut, and it's nice to chip in and again, so it's good to see you legends. Thank you.
Great, lovely.
You're very welcome, Pete, anytime you want to come on, you're on.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Thanks, everyone. See you soon.
See you soon, John.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Cheers, Tony. Thanks, mate.
The Alan Hudson Podcast. Proper football, proper talk.